Ja, kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten, noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni človeka počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pravzaprav sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži. Drži.
Pozdravljeni torej v današnjem kultivatorju, v katerem bomo govorili o nedavnem državnem udaru, ki ga je izvedla skupina vojaških generalov v Gvineji Bissau. Zdaj ta skupina se je razglasila za visoko vojaško poveljstvo za obnovitev reda in prejšnjo sredo je prek televizijskega govora sporočila, da je prevzela popoln nadzor na državo in tudi naročila za ustavitev volilnega procesa. Do puča je namreč prišlo dan pred razglasitvijo uradnih rezultatov splošnih volitev v državi, in visoko poveljstvo je nato zaprlo državne meje, uvedlo policijsko uro in odstavilo in aretiralo dotedanjega predsednika države Umaroja Sisoka Embaloja. Aretirana sta bila tudi vodja glavne opozicijske stranke Domingo Pereira in dotedanji minister za notranje zadeve. Naslednji dan je potem kot začasni predsednik zaprisegel general Horta Inta Namana in v soboto je imenoval tudi 28 članski kabinet. Net. Zdaj za analizo puča v Gvineji Bissau je z mano Tim iz aktualno-politične redakcije. Tim, pozdravljen.
Živjo. Ja, torej skupina vojaških generalov je oblast prevzela v času, ko je potekalo štetje glasov splošnih volitev v državi. Volitve so potekale torej za sedeže tako v parlamentu, ki ga je sicer predsednik Embalo razpustil leta 2023, in za predsednika države. Zdaj za položaj predsednika se je potegovalo 12 kandidatov, vključno z Embalojem, za mesta v parlamentu pa je kandidiralo 14 političnih skupin. Glavna opozicijska stranka, ki si jo že omenila na začetku, torej Afriška stranka za neodvisnost Gvineje in Zelenortskih otokov, znana kot PAIGC, je na volitvah podprla predsednika stranke za družbeno obnovo Fernanda Diaša, ta stranka pa se sama ni udeležila volitev. PAIGC se je za podporo Diaša odločila potem, ko je Vrhovno sodišče oktobra predsedniško kandidaturo prepovedalo vodjo opozicije Domingošu Pereiri. To odločitev pa je sodišče sprejelo zaradi prepozne oddaje vloge za kandidaturo, sicer pa je Vrhovno sodišče že septembra prepovedalo tudi kandidiranje članom stranke PAIGC na parlamentarnih volitvah iz istega razloga, se pravi zaradi prepozne oddaje vloge. No, dogajanje pred volitvami v državi pa povzame Ricardo Sousa, ki je profesor mednarodnih odnosov na Univerzi Beira Interior na Portugalskem.
In a run-up to these presidential elections, the main opposition party and the main contestants for the presidential elections, Domingos Simões Pereira and the PAIGC party, were their candidacy was not accepted by the Supreme Court on some procedural grounds. Now, it's important to have in mind that the PAIGC is the main historical party in the country. So for the first time since independence, that is not running for office. Nevertheless, what happened was that the PAIGC and Domingo Simões Pereira himself supported another candidate, Fernando Dias. And therefore, in the elections, Sisoko Embaló was facing several candidates, but the main contestant was Fernando Díaz.
Torej, glavna dva kandidata sta bila potem Embaló in Díaz. Bi lahko kaj povedal še o njima, torej nek kontekst?
Ja, se pravi, Embaló je trenutni oziroma je bil dosedanji predsednik države in tudi med letoma 2016 in 2018 predsednik vlade. Na to je kot kandidat Gibanja za demokratično spremembo, katerega predsednik je še vedno, slavil na predsedniških volitvah leta 2019 in potem naslednje leto tudi zaprisegel kot predsednik. Zdaj, na teh volitvah je v prvem krogu prejel manj glasov kot njegov protikandidat Pereira, ampak je potem v drugem krogu v bistvu prejel večjo podporo ljudstva. No, Pereira je te rezultate volitev izpodbijal in v bistvu ne vrhovno sodišče, ne parlament nista podprla Embalojeve želje, da po volitvah zapriseže, ampak je potem odhajajoči predsednik Mario Vaš odstopil in je lahko Embalo uradno prevzel njegov položaj. Zdaj, kako pa je potekal predsedniški mandat Embaloja, pa predstavi sogovornik.
Presidency of Sisoko Embalo started effectively with popular support. I was in Bissau in 2022. He was still enjoying the goodwill of the people. Even if the elections of 2019 had been contested by the opposition, they were contested on procedural grounds. The general consensus of the observers is that the results had translated the will of the people. So he took office. He had a policy of concentration of power that is clear. He saw the presidency in Guinea-Bissau as concentrated under the president. We have to remember that Guinea-Bissau has a semi-presidential system. So the president has a kind of a formal role, but the governance of the country is entrusted in the parliament, which supports the government. But what happened was Umaro Sissoko Embalo attempted to concentrate the power in the presidency. This is nothing new in Guinea-Bissau. All presidents attempt this procedure, and there's always a significant tension between the presidency and the government because of this. Now, this was one of the characteristics of his presidency. There was several reports of intimidation, persecution of elements of the opposition or of the civil society, of the media, throughout his leadership. But one thing that has been reported is that Sisoko Embalo was able to do some infrastructural work in Bissau, specifically.
Torej, ne čist najbolj uspešen mandat, ampak vse en tako z nekaj pozitivnimi konotacijami, če sem prav razumela. Zdaj, prej si omenil, da je Embalo med svojim predsedovanjem tudi razpustil parlament. Kako je do tega prišlo?
Ja, v bistvu je to naredil kar dvakrat, se pravi prvič leta 2022 in potem drugič leto zatem. Februarja leta 2022 je v bistvu preživel ali pa politično preživel poskus državnega udara, v katerem je skupina oboroženih posameznikov napadla vladno zgradbo, v kateri so bili takrat ministri vlade, predsednik vlade in pa tudi Embalo. No, skupina je zgradbo obkrožila in jo potem tudi obstreljevala, cela situacija pa je trajala okoli 5 ur. No, 3 mesece kasneje je potem Embalo razpustil parlament zaradi nerazrešljivih razlik med poslanci, se pravi, pač v bistvu je nekako verjetno parlament upočasnjeval njegove ukrepe in nekako mu nasprotoval. No in potem, ko je parlament razpustil, se je odločil, da za december razpiše predčasne parlamentarne volitve. Te volitve je potem prestavil na juni, na volitvah pa je slavila koalicija pod vodstvom opozicijske stranke PAIGC. No in koalicija je imela tako v parlamentu 54 poslancev, kar je več kot polovica, cel parlament ima 102 sedeža, no in 25 sedežev več kot predsednikova stranka.
The first one occurred in February 2022. At the time Umaro Sisoko Embalo attributed this attempt coup d'etat to drug interests, narcotraffic interests, and corruption interests in the state. What came out of this coup d'etat was that v marcu so komalo requested ECOWAS to reinstate the peace support mission that was in the country up to his election, taking office, and he had requested them to leave. So basically, it seemed that this first coup had as a result the reinforcement of a security apparatus to protect the institutions of the state from potential coups. So that is the conclusion, apparently, of this coup d'etat. The second coup d'etat occurred after a process that evolved at the level of the parliament. So what happened was that in May 2022, the president dissolved the national parliament because there was different views regarding a constitutional reform process. As I mentioned before, the president Sisoko Embalo was attempting to concentrate powers in the president, and he wanted to have a constitutional reform that reflected that perspective. Now, the parliament, which wants to keep its own powers and the powers of interested in the government, wanted to keep the constitutional semi-presidential. Now, because of that, the Sisoko Embalo dissolved the parliament and went into elections. I mean, the expectation was that he would win, his party would win elections as he had won the elections in 2019. Now, but what happened was that in the elections that happened in 2023, in June 2023, the opposition, led by Domingos Simões Pereira and the main party, PAIGC, position takes the majority in the parliament.
In drugič, ko je razpustil parlament, kaj so bile pa takrat okoliščine?
Ja, ta drugič je bilo pa v bistvu samo par mesecev kasneje po volitvah, zato ker novembra istega leta, kot so bile volitve, je potem v prestolnici države Bisav prišlo do spopadov med dvema različnima skupinama varnostnih sil. In ko se je predsednik Embalo vrnil z konference COP28 v Dubaju, je to dogajanje označil za poskus državnega udara in to izkoristil za to, da je razpustil parlament. No in Pereira je njegove dejanje označil za ustavni put.
In a judicial process that was unfolding in the country, two members of the government were arrested on charges of corruption, a minister and a secretary of state. And what unfolded from that process was that there was some clashes between two arms of the security forces, light clashes, but there were clashes in the capital. Now, Sisoko Embalo considered the process was solved, but Sisoko Embalo found that as an opportunity to, or a justification to again dissolve the national parliament on December 2023. And therefore, since then, the government has been one of presidential initiative, and the national parliament has not been working as supposed to.
To ni dober znak za delovanje vladnega aparata. Zdaj smo torej obdelali Embaloja in njegov mandat. Kdo pa je Fernando Díaz, ki ga je pa pač podprla stranka po AIGC?
Ja, Díaz je nekdanji minister za lokalno oblast in nekoč tudi podpredsednik parlamenta, ki ga je Embalo razpustil. Ampak bolj kot v bistvu Díaz, ki je tudi predsednik ene manjše stranke v državi, je pomembna ta opozicijska stranka PAIGC. Stranka je bila ustanovljena leta 1956 v času, ko je bila Gvineja-Bisav še pod nadzorom Portugalske in ustanovljena je bila z namenom, da se bori za neodvisnost od kolonizatorke, ampak ne pač ne v oboroženem spopadu, ampak nekak prek drugih, v bistvu prek pogovorov, prek opozarjanja na to in nekak iskala druge vzvode.
Ja, pa kasnej vsem vodila oboroženi odpor proti portugalski.
Ja, točno to. Se pravi, potem, ko ta nek mirovniški pristop ni deloval, je leta 1963 začela vojno za neodvisnost, ki je trajala 11 let in se je zaključila leta 1974. No in po priborjeni samostojnosti je bila to edina dovoljena stranka v državi vse do uvedbe večstrankarskega sistema leta 1991. In ta stranka je v bistvu skozi ta čas, ko nekako upeljajo v državi parlamentarno demokracijo, je opustila svoje socialistične korenine, s katerimi je začela ta v bistvu oboroženi boj proti kolonizatorki in je tudi prevzela za to bolj neke te liberalne politike. Kot pa pove Sousa, je to zelo vplivna stranka v državi, ker veliko političnih akterjev je še vedno povezanih s to stranko.
The PAIGC party is the main party in the country. I mean, in the period of colonization, it was this party that led the war of independence. So they have this legitimacy based on years of independence struggle. And so when there was the independence of Guinea-Bissau, 74, they assume the states and govern the states since that time. Now, the party is like the backbone of political thinking in Guinea-Bissau. Even if there's been other parties emerging, and even taking over positions in the governments or the presidency, all these political actors have some sort of connection to the PAIGC.
Torej, to je stranka, ki trenutno podpira Diaz, ni pa Diaz prisoten v njej. Kaj se pa potem dejansko zgodilo na volitvah?
Ja, volitve so potekale v nedeljo 23. novembra, torej 3 dni pred državnim udarom. Zdaj, v tem času je potekalo štetje glasov, ki so ga tako državni kot mednarodni opazovalci označili za pravičnega in svobodnega. To pomeni, da po njihovem mnenju ni prišlo do nekega vmešavanja v sam potek, pač v samo štetje glasov. No, v torek sta potem oba glavna kandidata, torej Embalo in pa Diaz, razglasila zmago že v prvem krogu, se pravi, da naj bi po njunem mnenju oba prejela po več kot 50% glasov, ki so potrebni za zmago. No, mednarodni opazovalci so v sredo pred samim državnim udarom rezultate ravno sporočili obema kandidatoma in pač so tudi obvestili, da sta oba kandidata te rezultate sprejela, ampak kot pove sogovornik, v bistvu naj bi samo eden bil bolj zadovoljen za te, ker naj bi po neuradnih rezultatih slavil Diaz.
On the 23rd of November there is the elections with a very orderly execution. I mean, there were national and international observers in the country and all have considered that by and large the election process was free and fair in that day. And the different regional electoral committees started counting the votes. Now, the process in Guinea-Bissau is very transparent regarding the tailing of the votes, because in many polling stations, the counting is actually even made in public with members of the community in the audience, besides the electoral observers and everything. So it's very difficult for any candidate to alter the results of the elections on the day. And what happened was the procedures were going on, and by the 26th of November, so 2 days after the elections, there was already information unofficially that Fernando Diaz had won the elections with the majority. So that meant that you would not need to go for a second round of elections. Now, the Electoral Commission was supposed to announce these results on the 27th. And on the 26th, so just one day before the announcement of these results, which were already known and officially in Bissau, there is a coup d'etat led by the army, by the General Horta Intaha, alleging that there is an instability in the country and taking over the government and the control of the country.
En dan pred razglasitvijo uradnih rezultatov je pa potem skupina vojaških generalov prevzela oblast, torej ta stvar, s katero smo tudi začeli, državni udar. Ne? Kako so lahko nekako prišli do tega, kako so si to situacijo dovolj zgladili, da jim je to uspelo?
Ja, no, v sredo se je najprej začelo s tem, da naj bi v bližini predsedniške palače bilo slišati strele in potem je predsednik Embalo sam sporočil, da so ga uniformiranci aretirali, to pomeni, da ne vemo, katera varnostna skupina oziroma pač kateri represivni organ je bil tisti, ki ga je aretiral, najverjetno je pa skupina iz pač uniformirancev vojske, nekak bi si verjetno razlagali. No, na to je imela ta skupina vojaških generalov televizijski nagovor, v katerem so potrdili, da so prevzeli oblast, ker so odkrili načrt za destabilizacijo države. Ta načrt, oziroma tega načrta nikoli niso razložili, kaj naj bi bil, kako so ga odkrili, se pravi, to je verjetno samo pač nek razlog, ki so ga navedli za to, da imajo razlog.
Papirnat razlog.
Ja, de facto. No in potem na govoru so naročili zaustavitev volilnega procesa in prepovedali razglasitev rezultatov. Se pravi, kot so že omenila, se je ta vojaška skupina tudi in preimenovala v visoko vojaško poveljstvo za obnovitev reda. No in kasneje je Embalo za francoski medij spet sam povedal, da so ga odstavili, se pravi, on je sam najprej sporočil, da so ga aretirali in potem še sam povedal, da so ga odstavili. In par dni kasneje je volilna komisija sporočila, da je skupina oboroženih moških v pisarni komisije najprej zasegla glasovnice, tudi različne evidence in računalnike, potem pa uničila strežnike z rezultati in zato ne bodo mogli sporočiti končnega volilnega izida. Poveljstvo je na to zaprlo tako kopenske kot morske meje, uvedlo policijsko uro ter prepovedalo proteste in stavke v državi. Tudi ECOWAS, se pravi gospodarska skupnost zahodnoafriških držav in pa Afriška unija sta obe zamrznili članstvo Gvineje-Bissau v tej organizaciji, tako Pereira kot Embalo pa sta bila aretirano. Kaj vse pa se je zgodilo, po državnem udaru pa pove sogovornik.
In the immediate aftermath of the coup, there was a curfew imposed, there was the closing of all borders, but that apparently was a very temporary measure. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, that the curfew has been lifted and some sort of traveling has been allowed. I believe that it was a measure in order to prevent any major disruption as a result of the coup. Now, what has been reported is that, as I said, there was an immediate crackdown on some political actors from the opposition. When I say opposition, I refer to the opposition to the president Sissoko Embalo, and some of them have been arrested. There's been some reports of intimidation of human rights activists, but that's what's been circulating in terms of the immediate effects. Now, what has been happening is that a delegation from the ECOWAS has been sent to the country in order to try to mediate a political solution for this crisis. And in the meantime, the main political figure of the opposition, Domingos Simões Pereira, which was arrested, has been released. Fernando Dias, the allegedly winner of the presidential elections, the main contestant facing Sissoko Embalo, is being protected at the embassy of Nigeria.
To skupino generalov je pa vodil Dinis Inkanja, vodja predsedniške straže. So tudi ostali vojaki povezani zdaj že z nekdanjim predsednikom?
Ja, se pravi, Inkanja je vodja predsedniške straže, general Horta Intaa, ki je naslednji dan zaprisegel kot začasni predsednik za eno leto, pa je veljal za v bistvu bližnji zaveznik Mbaloja. Intaa je v soboto na to imenoval tudi 28-člansko vlado, ki jo bo vodil dosedanji finančni minister Ildio Vieira T. In Sousa pove, da je v bistvu veliko ministrov te vlade povezanih z nekdanjim predsednikom.
Right after the coup, the president, the Umaro Sisoko Mbalo, was the one giving interviews to international outlets, media outlets, that a coup had taken place. Now, this is quite irregular because normally if a coup takes place to depose a president, this president is arrested and put off contact. Now, on top of this, the main coup leaders and are all very closely associated with Umaro Sissoko Mbalo. In this case, General Horta Intaa was the chief of the presidential guard of Umaro Sissoko Mbalo, and is the one that is now taking the transitional presidency. And I can also say that the provisional government that's been nominated already is headed by Ildio Vieira T, which was a previous minister of defense, but in particular was the national director of the electoral campaign of the coalition of parties that supported the presidential candidate Umaro Sissoko Mbalo. So even if the coup leader said it's a coup and we're going to set up this transitional government for 1 year to restore stability, it's very incongruent with any coup procedures that all the leaders, presidential and at the government level, are closely related with the president Sissoko Mbalo. The previous president Sissoko Mbalo. Now, the previous president Sissoko Mbalo was able to leave the country in a plane, and he traveled first to Senegal and now is in the Republic of Congo. So he's no longer, technically speaking, arrested by coup leaders in Bissau, for instance.
Kaj se je potem zgodilo oziroma kakšni so pa odnosi med Mbalojem pa opozicijskim kandidatom, se pravi Diješem?
Ja, se pravi, Mbaloja so najprej aretirali in ga potem izpustili, po puču pa je odšel v Senegal, potem v Kongo in zdaj naj bi bil po poročanju nekaterih medijev v Maroku. No, na drugi strani je Diješ zbežal najprej iz strankenega poslopja in se potem zatekel na veleposlaništvo Nigerije. Nigerijske oblasti pa so ta teden Diješu odobrile tudi azil. No, omenil sem, da je Mbalo zapustil Senegal in šel v Kongo. To naj bi bilo, ni pa nujno, da zato, ker je senegalski predsednik vlade Usmane Sonko prejšnji petek povedal, da je bil ta puč prevara. Nekdanji nigerijski predsednik Good Luck, a.k.a. vso srečo Jonathan, sicer tudi opazovalec volitev v Gvineji Bissau, pa je brez dokazov dejal, da je bil ta državni udar zrežiran. In z Jonathanom se strinjajo tudi nekatere lokalne skupine, ki so rekle, da je bil ta prevrat v bistvu izmišljen in da je Mbalo želel preprečiti objavo rezultatov volitev. In zakaj tako menijo, pojasni Sousa.
We have one important testimony is by Good Luck Jonathan, previous president of Nigeria, which was one of the international observers on the ground. And he considered that what he had witnessed was a kind of a ceremonial coup, and therefore he didn't found any reason for what happened. So that was also the understanding of the Prime Minister of Senegal, which a few days after the coup also mentioned that he didn't consider that there was effectively a coup happening. So what is being the main idea of this coup is that it was a stage event in order, as I said, to prevent that the opposition be officially declared the legitimate authority in the country. And so this issue of the instability that this group of militaries that took over the country alleges could refer, I mean, it was mentioned in their testament that to narcotraffic interests that could act based on the results of the elections. And so some commentators understand that the coup leaders are alleging that there was eventually an action being planned by these narco-trafficking interests to stop or create instability in the country. But there is no evidence that's the case.
Torej, nekako od leta 91 so doživeli dva poskusa državnega udara, če gre zaupati bivšim vladnim akterjem, in zdaj še nekaj, za kar torej, kar nekaj držav sosed sumi, da je bilo zrežirano. A gre tle za nek vzorc?
Ja, mislim, v bistvu od samostojnosti je ta država doživela, ali pa vsaj pač bilo je 9 poskusov ali pa uspešnih poskusov državnega udara. Tako da to ni glih nekak izoliran primer, da bi se to samo enkrat zgodil, ampak nazadnje, da pa se bi to zgodilo v času volitev, ko, in to sicer pred drugim krogom, pa je bilo leta 2012.
Pressure. It's not the first time that, for instance, an electoral process is stopped in Guinea-Bissau through a coup. Previously, in 2012, then Prime Minister Carlos Ghosn Jr. was running for presidential office and won the first round of elections, not with a majority, so there would be a second round of elections for the presidency. And in between those two rounds of elections, there was a coup d'etat exactly to prevent the second round of the elections to occur. In those days was executed by General Antonio Ingai. It's normally referred to the cocaine coup d'etat due to the interests of the narco trafficking that were behind this intervention.
So pa tudi sosednje države, kot sta recimo Mali in pa Burkina Faso v zadnjih letih doživljali puče. Zdaj, kaj so neke ključne razlike? Gre za razliko, recimo, čas izvedbe, torej tik pred razglasitvijo, ali bi lahko rekli, da so tudi čist drugačni povodi tle v igri?
Ja, se pravi, Burkina Faso, Mali, Niger in tudi drugi so v tem času vsi doživeli državni udar. V Burkini Faso recimo je predsednik Ibrahima Traore na oblast prišel z državnim udarom leta 2022. Malijska hunta, ki jo vodi Asimi Gojta, je oblast prevzela leta 2021 za že drugim državnim udarom v 12 mesecih, in obe te državi v bistvu pod trenutnim vodstvom vodita nek zelo antiimperialistični in pa antikolonialistični sistem. Od izgona v bistvu multinacionalk iz države do nacionalizacije nekaterih pač delov gospodarstva. To sta ti dve hunti, recimo. No. Ampak v Gvineji-Bissau je manjša razlika to, oziroma večja razlika to, da je ta državni udar izvedla politična elita, gre za, se pravi, vojsko in pa to del vojske, ki je bil v bistvu neposredni bližini predsednika in je užival podporo predsednika, in te politične elite tudi ljudstvo ne podpira.
In the cases of Mali, Niger, Burkina Faso, in those coups, there was a popular support to the coup leaders. I mean, it might not have been general throughout the society, but there was groups within the countries that subscribed to the political agenda of the coup leaders. And so there was some popular support in some form. Now, in this case, in Guinea-Bissau, as I mentioned, the population had just voted orderly in an election to choose a new leader, and their will is stopped by a coup. So it's mainly a coup of the elites, of the political skeleton and with almost no social base. I mean, one of the characteristics of the political instability in Guinea-Bissau is that it doesn't reflect societal tensions. It's mostly political instability at the elite level of governance. So that's a clear difference between this coup and the coups that we saw in Mali, Niger, and Burkina Faso.
Se pravi, Intaa naj bi zdaj eno leto zasedal položaj začasnega oziroma namestnega predsednika, a bo potem dejansko zapustil to funkcijo ali ne?
Ja, naš sogovornik meni, da sta možna dva scenarija. Po prvem bi poveljstvo poskusilo ponovno kot predsednika imenovati Embaloja, druga možnost pa je, da bi samo poskušali ostati na oblasti.
One is to try to reinstate Umaru Sisoko Embalo in some form. It's very difficult to understand how this could happen, but it's very likely that it will be attempted. And two, to legitimize their position. Again, this could be done through these several means, and I think there is not a clear plan orchestrated at the medium long term. It's more an objective to remain in power and to find the ways to do it as the political events evolve.
Kakšen pa misliš, da bo razvoj te situacije v Gvineji-Bisau?
Je težko je napovedati, zaradi tega, ker recimo, kot smo omenila Burkina Faso in pa Mali, tam gre za dva državna udara, ki uživata podporo ljudstva. Tukaj, kot smo slišali,
tem, je ne. Ja.
Ja, je ne. Tako da, če se bo nadaljevalo na tak način, se pravi, da bo ljudstvo, ki je želelo ali pa saj poskušalo izraziti svojo voljo na volitvah, pač bo, se bo uprlo temu režimu, potem ne, pač v bistvu verjetno to ne bo dolgotrajno, ampak če pa se nekako tuk je njim koristen ali pa bodo dovolj represivni, da upora ne bodo dovolili, potem pa kdo ve, kaj se lahko zgodi.
Ja, najlepša ti hvala za zbistritev situacijo, ki naj bi sav, kultivirala pa sva Tim in Živa.
Kaj pa je to?
Ja, kultivator.
Gre za neko vrsto apatije.
To lahko reče samo kreten. Noben drug.
Socialni invalid in ga je nemogoče urejati.
Drugi kandidat.
Pa pije, kadi, masturbira, vse kako ni svako počne. Nihče tega ne ve.
Vsak petek skultiviramo dogodek. Tedna.
Lahko po kriterijih Radio Študent, težko pa po evropskih kriterijih.
Ampak na drug način, kot vi tu mislite.
Kultivator vedno užge.
Da pač nekdo sploh omenja probleme, ki so, in da pač sploh nekdo sproži dogajanje v družbi.
To drži.